You're listening to Metal Gear Mondays. If you want to support the show, check out patreon.com/Metal Gear Mondays.
Welcome to another episode of Metal Gear Mondays. As always, my name is Alessio Summerfield, and this is a podcast, video games, book club, games club podcast, where we cover all things Metal Gear, top to bottom, left to right, inside and out, in pseudo-historical recreation, chronological order. That is foreshadowing to the Metal Gear Solid 5 season. As always, I'm joined by the three hottest boys in the podcasting industry.
Ow!
Jimmy Wrightmuth.
Yeah.
Isaac Reichmuth.
Rah, 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 rah.
And Samuel Reichmuth.
Hey, y'all mind if I praise God for a second?
Nah.
Yeah, so it's me and my three Reichmuth friends.
Oh, man. Why aren't you Alessio Reichmuth?
Because I maintained my independence through the Great Reichmuth Wars.
No, let's all be on this glorious. On this glorious Monday. Let's all be Reichmuths.
That's true.
Of the Reichmuth clan.
Okay, so I'm Alessio de Reichmuth.
All right. Take it from the top, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Oh no!
Welcome to Metal Gear Mondays.
Just do the intro for an hour.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's nothing. Take it from the top. Redo it.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
All right, one more time, Isaac.
Hi guys.
I love it. Hell yeah. Okay, well cool. So this week we are continuing Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker
coverage.
With an episode encapsulating co-op discussion as well as sort of a greatest hits of the extra ops. Excuse me, I had one of those weird like frog throat.
Now brag about it.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. Sam and I were the only ones to engage in the co-op because of some unfortunate situations. James, you want to tell us what happened to your
PlayStation? Peace Walker, great game. It killed my PlayStation 3. Like, it just died.
What happened?
I woke up one morning. I was going to do some extra ops content, you know, to get ready for this show, and it just stopped. It just shut down, and it never turned back on.
Yikes.
That's
rip.
Sucks, man.
Well, it's a good thing that we're not going to go back to the PS3 for a while.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you had just bought that.
Yeah, I bought it. I bought it for the purposes of playing through 3 and Peace Walker.
Have you tried replacing the hard drive in it?
No, not yet.
Okay. I was going to say, I might actually.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
You know, I didn't check to see if it was plugged in, but I should.
That'd be hilarious. So due to that and just due to like time constraints with Isaac's schedule, so Sam and I put in probably we played a bunch, right? Say like what?
We played for a solid four hours or so.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
It's pretty good. So we're gonna talk about our co-op experience and then from there we'll kind of dive into what everybody's sort of favorite extra ops stuff was. And we'll talk a little bit about secrets and extras. So let's just dive in with co-op. Sam, you and I have had the pleasure of doing, I'm going to say pleasure with massive air quotes, the pleasure of doing the Survive stuff together. How did this fare as far as multiplayer Metal Gear goes?
Better.
Yeah, he said begrudgingly.
It's not hard to be better than Survive in any aspect. So, I think that like Survive is going to be, or so far has been the only mainline, I wouldn't even call it a mainline game, like the only Metal Gear game that I've played that I've completely shat it upon in all aspects, except for maybe Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake.
You mean Snake's Revenge?
Snake's Revenge, I'm sorry.
Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake is the good one. Sublime.
Yeah.
Good. Well, and I'm excited, too, because whenever we get into the Ground Zeroes and 5 coverage, it looks like, from a quick cursory Google search, that Metal Gear Online is still up and running.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, and we all have PS4s, so let's make it happen.
We sure do.
I think the process of getting connected and getting hooked up was really good. Effectively, the way that it works, this is the, so the one caveat that I had with the one issue that I had with this that was kind of frustrating was Sam and I went online, we couldn't be in like a party together. Yeah. We had to exclusively like per mission, like mission to mission, invite mm-hmm. each other.
Oh,
so every time you hop on another mission, you have to re-invite everybody to the party.
There's not just like a okay,
yeah, which is extremely frustrating.
I guess it's probably because like the amount of people it can be in missions varies.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm sure that. And like again, it's like a handheld, so it's like there's not like an ongoing party system, but
right.
I don't. It's just frustrating because like so Sam and I were like playing through a bunch of missions back to back to back to back, and every single time, thankfully, we got on Discord and just talked through Discord because there's no way to communicate mm-hmm. within the game either. So you're just kind of like stuck, you know? Like there's no voice chat in the game,
right?
Yeah.
Thank God for Discord.
But you can't open it up to just anybody joining your games. So I'm curious to see like if anybody actually still plays it.
Did you ever open it up just to see?
Nah. Sam and I just kind of kept it kosher.
They get viruses.
Yeah, it was pretty good though. There's a weird.
No. I want to focus on that for a second. What?
I said what I said.
Okay.
There are some mechanical nuances that are different to the co-op. So when you're together, there's a huge circle around the two of you when you get close together, and like while you're close together, you can hold a button, and your dude will put his hand on your other dude's shoulder. And you'll like walk in unison.
Why?
So
you can like squat up and just like stealth in like one sort of like
pretty dope.
Group. And the other thing too is you can sync up where you just like get next to each other and like hold triangle and you'll like sync up with each other. And so like your health and your speed and stuff gets boosted.
That's dope.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of
it
cool.
It becomes like you become like one like giant health bar and like is you it, shoot faster and move faster.
Like if one of you are seen, you're both seen?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we didn't toy around with the AI all that much. I wonder if one of us was seen, if they were going, if they would come after both of us.
No, they didn't, because I remember you got spotted and I was able to sneak up behind the guy and get him.
Ah, very nice. The other cool thing is the boxes in the game. So you can fit two people in a box. But specifically, there's a cardboard box tank. And when two people are inside of it, one of them can control the gun turret while the other one's moving the box.
That's crazy.
And legit, that tank hits hard, dog.
It does.
What does it shoot?
It just shoots rockets. So, like, we took on an enemy vehicle with the box tank, and I remember I straight up shot it once, and it killed all four of the dudes damaged the tank.
It's pretty dope.
There's also a stun tank box, and then there's an exploding box, where if people come to check on the box, it just blows up.
I like that.
And there's, like, a health box as well.
Like a matchbox.
It has it's like white and it has like a red siren on it. It's hilarious.
It's so goofy. I'm trying to think. So Sam, we took on Cocoon to try and farm armor parts. I think we talked a little bit about that.
Yeah,
it didn't work. We took on Pupa stage 2 or type 2 or whatever.
Yeah, type 2. It wasn't too hard. It was just way more resilient.
Yeah. What else did we do? We did all of your Zadornov.
We got up to like my third one. We beat your fifth one.
Yeah. And those were super goofy because we'd just be like straight face rolling through the forest and then just like catch them.
The whole thing, until you realize that it was like that was the point and that was the point of the plan, like it's such like I said this in one of the generalities episode, but it's just like it's super like Benny Hill goofy because he hides in such stupid places
truly
and in plain sight, and then like I'm repeating myself because I'm sure you know we talked about this last episode, but he just hides in stupid places and then his face is so like what whenever you find him, it's so goofy.
What were you going
to say? Can you do the Zeke fight co-op?
Didn't try to do the Zeke fight because I think at the time Sam didn't have it unlocked yet.
Yeah.
But you can do all the Peace Walker fights co-op.
Right. So, yeah, so both players have the same mission unlocked to do it together?
No. I didn't invite Sam. We didn't think to do it. Because Sam was like,
well,
still
so here's
a,
well, I don't think if you would have, if I would have fought your Zeke, I don't think it would have unlocked the game for me. Because what happens is, you can invite, you can be in any mission, but if you you are locked out from seeing the cutscenes if you haven't gotten to that point yet.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I kind of like that.
Yeah. So you know how the main, so you know how the main menu is that like colorful like TV, like like TV thing. It essentially throws up one of those with the Peace Walker logo in the middle of it, the peace sign thing, and it makes you essentially look at that until the cutscene.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Sam, do you want to talk about a little bit about these Monster Hunter missions?
I would fucking love to. So. So there's like a there you can unlock these missions and this crossover with the Monster Hunter series, and you have to have like a specific you have to do a specific series of things. So you have to talk or like listen to all of Chico's mission briefings, which I did, and you can kind of skip through them, but I enjoyed listening to the mission briefings, and especially Chico's, because he's just like, we talked about it, he's just this like crazy conspiracy theorists, cryptids are real, everything, big monsters, super real type person. And he just kind of goes over like a bunch of like urban myths and creatures and stuff like that. And you listen to all of his mission briefings. And I think one of them talks about there being a monster in one of the lakes where that take place in the game, like one of the maps in the game. And if you go do, there's a extra ops mission where you go in and it's a an item retrieval where you destroy the box and retrieve the items. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you go do that like you would normally would, and you collect all the items. But instead of going to the goal, you go to the map,
yeah,
the part
of the
map
beach,
where,
right?
Yeah, the beach. So you start the game on the beach where they kind of teach you about shooting in your tutorial. And you go back there, and there is a Palico from the Monster Hunter series just chilling on the dock. And you talk to it, and it tells you about this Trenia, this big old island where he's got like something for you there.
Or Trenia's the
cat. And Snake's like, "No thanks, cat. I'm not a Monster Hunter." But then it unlocks a mission where you can hunt a Rathalos for Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, and Trenia takes you to the island, and you fight these monsters.
Yep. So Sam and I fought the Rathalos, we fought the Tigrex, and then we fought the Gearrex, and then we fought the Gearrex a second time, and then we fought the Gearrex a third time.
Jeez. Mm-hmm.
And then there was a fourth crazy mode that we did not get to that was like five red skulls in the difficulty, and we were like, oh shit. But it's interesting. Essentially, it plays like you kind of imagine it would. It's like, imagine four people fighting the monster in Monster Hunter. You get ferried to this little island. It's just the white. I think every one of the Monster Hunter fights have at least two phases, and I think the Gearrex one has a third and a fourth phase. But the Rathalos and the Tigrex essentially looks like it's just a giant T-Rex. The Rathalos is kind of this like weird winged dragon thing. And you fight them on this little island tropical setting, and while you're fighting them, instead of having four soldiers with them, they have four like velociraptors with them.
Hell yeah.
And the velociraptors, you just like pop them in the head and they're dead. Like, they don't have any armor or anything.
Can you fold the velociraptors
you
back to your bag?
No, I tried.
That would be dope.
You can cook a ration over the spit, just like the cooking thing for Monster Hunter, which is hilarious. And if you do it right, Miller will be like, "That looks delicious."
Wow.
And then if you fuck it up, he's like, "That looks terrible." But yeah, essentially, you fight them like you would any of the bosses. But what's cool is you can cut their tails off and like break parts of their body like you can in Monster Hunter, and it gives you ingredients towards unlocking custom outfits and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
That look like
the
dinosaurs.
Monster. Yeah, that's dope.
We have to talk about Gearrex. Sam, how would you describe Gearrex?
Real nasty. Not fun. not fun or pleasing to look at. Just real gross. So the idea behind Gearrex is that Gearrex is what's the name of the Monster Hunter artist?
It was Yoji Shinkawa, the Metal Gear artist. He designed a dinosaur version of Metal Gear Rex.
Yeah.
Specifically for this. And it's the only design that doesn't have a Capcom copyright on it.
Wow.
It was made just for this. So it's this disgusting real-life version of what a Metal Gear Rex would look like if it was an actual creature.
It's really gross. Like, it's got, like, this... You know how, like, Metal Gear Rex's head is kind of square-shaped? Its head has these, like, weird, like, feelers on the side of it that are kind of make its head look kind of boxy, like Metal Gear Rex does. Where its radar dish would normally be, it has, like, this weird, like, tentacle sticking out that fires lasers.
Yeah, it's like a weird, like... It's like a scaly dinosaur penis arm.
Yeah.
That's weird.
We took to calling it his penis arm. It's gross and not great to look at. and him real angry.
Oh, yeah.
And him real nasty.
Him angry boy. But
and T-Rex, him absolute power.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. So they all have these funny like title cards that have like a subtitle below it. And I think it was for Gear Rex, right? Down at the bottom, it just says, Gear Rex, King of Absolute Power.
Yeah, something like that. It's so him absolute power.
And so that's what we kept saying. We kept saying him absolute power. Like, the whole fight is real dumb.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun, though. It was different. Interesting.
We were hoping that, like, Gear Rex, the battles... Steel-Fanged King. The Tigrex
T-Grex
was absolute power.
Yeah. Steel-Fanged King. I like that.
Yeah. What was Rathalos? Did it winged something?
I can't remember. Yeah, I think it was just like Winged Fury or something.
But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Me and Alessia were hoping the entire time that like at one point in the battle, like Gear Ray would jump out of the water and start fucking shit up and he'd be like a gross like fish creature or something.
Yeah.
But never happened.
Alas. Yeah, it was fun. So we did the first fight, and then what ends up happening is, like, Rathalos and a couple other people, Rathalos and the other dinosaurs, essentially, there's, like, a Twilight version that unlocks when you beat them. So it's, like, the same fight, but it's, like, at night with, like, golden hour, kind of like magic hour, sunshine. And then for Gear Rex in particular, there was a third fight, which is you fight him where you fought the pupa. Yeah. And it just says, like, oh, we've cornered Gear Rex. He fled the monster island, and, like, we got to keep him from killing all the Costa Ricans.
It's a real Jurassic Park 3 situation.
Yeah, and so, like, that, me and James are looking at some random images. There's a GIF of something we're watching right now, which is absurd.
Is this a slingshot?
I completely forgot. So you can unlock a human three-person slingshot item in the game.
What?
Where you get one person to hold each side, and then the third person slingshots an explosive.
It does a lot of damage.
It is knocking 4 bars off of Gear Rex's health when it hits. It's crazy looking. I'll see if I can paste it in the Discord for you guys to take a look at. But, yeah, so you fight it in the crater base. The fourth option, which Sam and I did not realize we had unlocked until after we stopped for the night, and I went back and looked at the game afterwards to do some extra op stuff, and it turned out that essentially there was this fourth option where Gear Rex invades Mother Base and he's on the platform like terrorizing people.
Just fucking shit up.
It was nuts.
So you essentially fight him on the platform where you fought Zeke at the end of the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was very bizarre. But I just posted the GIF in the Discord if you guys want to check it, look at it. It's it's a little nuts.
Look at this boy.
But yeah, it's intense. So I'm assuming that the Twilight fights are kind of like the type 2
oh my God.
AI fights. Yeah, how nuts is that, dude? But yeah, it was a ton of fun. I believe that I can't remember if we unlocked any of the uniforms or not, but yeah, you can unlock specific to each of the monsters, like a monster camouflage.
It's pretty cool.
Which is neat. Yeah.
Are there like really good benefits to those outfits, or are they just cosmetic?
I'm not sure. I think they're just purely cosmetic, but I can double check on the rankings real
quick.
Pretty
dope. Either way, it's cool to have neat cosmetic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty legit.
I know, I'm a sucker for outfits.
I'm a sucker for fly threads. Let me see. I found a list of the camouflages, so let's see how the crazy ones work. Oh wow, this is nuts. I didn't realize that there were a bunch of like weird bonus DLC like Uniqlo, Walkman, Fox, and like Hori shirts for your squad mates. And in Japan, they have Doritos shirts, Pepsi Next shirts, Mountain Dew shirts, Axe shirts, Lawson, Arakawa, and Monster Hunter clothes.
What?
For your MSFD.
Huh.
What the fuck?
That's awesome.
I want a Dorito shirt.
Yeah, can I get a Doritos shirt for my boy, please? So that's a little weird. But yeah, that's bananas. Oh, apparently you can play as Amanda? That's kind of dope.
What?
Oh, you can get like an Amanda outfit for your MSF, dude.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, gotcha,
that's
yeah.
weird. Oh, there's a battle dress with a helmet, which I didn't realize was a thing. Snake looks like a badass. All right, here we go. Special uniforms. We got Neo Moss, which is like the Moss uniform from MGS3, and it's got S Jungle, S Swamp, and S Ruins. That's pretty dope.
Hmm.
The Stench Poo-Poo Fatigues are back from MGS3. The Tigrex is a B for Sand, Tree, and Rock, it looks like, and it doesn't look like it gives any... Oh, it grants the wearer the Tigrex's powerful charging ability.
That's cool.
Ooh.
Allowing them to knock enemies out with a single roll. Wow. So you can roll and knock dudes out. That's pretty
that's
legit.
Awesome.
If you have the Wrathless one, it... Oh, anytime you use any of the co-op messages, your battle cry will shock and stun enemies and keep them from moving.
That's pretty cool.
Hmm.
And then the Gear X one. Oh, you steal stamina from enemies by grabbing them.
You grow a gross penis arm.
And shoot lasers. Yeah, it's pretty sick. Anyway.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Outside of the Monster Hunter stuff, Sam, was there anything else that you want to talk about from the co-op experience? I had a really good time with it. I'd love to see this with four players.
Yeah, I think just playing through and like tranking guards and like branching off and doing crazy shit together was a lot of fun. Where I had fun with the normal missions, but like I had even more fun in the normal missions with another person. This game is very much designed to be played with others for sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's fun to play solo, but I definitely think that playing it multiplayer like really made it 10 times better.
Did the,
and it's cool because you can watch cutscenes together and stuff.
Did the PSP lend itself more to like being a multiplayer experience? I didn't really play the PSP, so I didn't really know.
I mean, I had like a lot of games had like ad hoc capability. So if there were people within like 200 meters of you, like I remember I used to play a lot of Dissidia Final Fantasy with like a small group of people and stuff like that. I know Monster Hunter was real big, but I think most of the ad hoc multiplayer shit seemed to be people in big cities or Japanese people that took advantage of it more because of the increased population.
That makes sense.
Because you could literally just like hang out in a park and throw that shit on ad hoc and God knows how many people would be poking around. But I know that like, especially growing up in like small town Alabama, it was like, unless I was in a room with three people that I specifically gathered for this, it just wasn't really going to happen. And, unfortunately I don't think outside of the ad hoc mode, I don't think there were any sort of like network infrastructure modes for this. So, but yeah. Yeah, I think that covers it for me from a co-op perspective. I think there are a couple items that are a little bit unique, like you can drop health items for people. Oh, the one thing that we encountered was doing supply drops. It was weird, like the lag that would happen. So we would do supply drops, and even if it was our own supplies, and you can kind of like pick up each other's supplies and stuff.
Sure.
Once the box would drop and the supplies would bust out of the box, there would be this weird delay where you would walk over it, but it would take it a second to register.
That's weird.
So I don't know. And that made it kind of difficult in the midst of some of these boss battles. Like I think one of us died a couple times and we had to just like wake him up. But yeah, you can resurrect each other in battle. So
that's
like,
cool.
If somebody falls, they can like, you can bring him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's
yeah,
cool. it's cool. Fun time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Do you guys want to talk about extra ops?
I would love to.
All right, Sam, since you're in love, would you love to start first?
I would love to start first. There are a couple like really funny, like interesting extra ops. A lot of them are kind of like categorized. So you have like your mech battles, and you have your Fulton recovery battle or missions, and you have your demolition missions. But one of my most important extra ops is mission 12, which is at first glance a simple Fulton recovery. And of course, I've hinted at this being a favorite of mine in the last couple episodes. The Fulton Recovery Mission, it takes place in the same map where you rescue Chico in Chapter 1. I took to using that one as a, like a buffer, like if I needed to play, an extra op to get a research development over faster, or if I needed to play extra ops to, get Zadornov to escape from his cell, I would play that one because it's pretty simple. And it got to the point where I was S ranking it every time I did it. And I was like challenging myself to get it lower, like time lower and lower. And my record at this point is 21 seconds to beat that.
That's crazy.
There's four guards on the map. I usually get all of them because I Fulton them, but you can reasonably get through it by only interacting with two of them.
Nice. Yeah, because I think you only have to recover the one guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the Fulton missions, you only have to recover the prisoner.
Nice. Outside of that, as far as ones that I really, really enjoyed, I don't know if you guys ever did Extra Ops number 21, which is the cargo truck demolition. Essentially, the bridge, the blown up bridge in the main game where you can kind of, you have to go under and there's a bunch of dudes and then you go up and above. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are essentially stationed there and you're given like your choice of weapons or whatever, but then you're looking out into the side as opposed to like up or down the bridge, and there are trucks in the distance like using the service road and you just have to like blow them up before they get to where they need to
That's
go.
Pretty cool.
And there's like 40 trucks, I think. It was super fun. I mean, there wasn't really like any cool unlockable or anything crazy, and it's just like a one player thing, but like this and the Puyan
I was gonna bring up the Puyan missions.
Yeah, and those are based on like a classic Konami game that I don't think ever left Japan, but there's a Konami kind of balloon popping like NES game or something. And that's what that's based on, and it's the Fulton balloon people are just kind of passing you
that's
and just balloons.
So I assume like the game was called Puyan, and that's why it's called the Puyan mission.
And they're super fun, so I don't know, I liked any of the extra ops that had added variety.
That is pretty cool.
It's like they're using the game to kind of do something different.
Right. Yeah. Well, and they were like photography ones too.
They were called like one of my favorite ones. I didn't get to play the ghost ones, which Alessio, you'll probably talk about those here in a second. But I did play the paparazzi ones, which you have to go around and take a picture. You have to go around. I think there are two of them, but you have to go around and you have to take take a picture of the commander of the unit, and the commander looks identical to the rest of the soldiers, but he's like super lazy, so he's the only one not doing anything. So you have to kind of
observe
the
soldiers.
That's
the through line on all of them. Like the commander's always just like some lazy piece of shit who's like not doing what he's doing.
Yeah. So you have to kind of like observe the soldiers and take a picture of the one that you think is the commander, and I like those.
Is there combat during those, or is it just like
they can find you and fight you and stuff?
But like you can fight back and you're not penalized for. Or are you penalized for?
I think anytime you're spotted, you lose like a minute off the time or something like that.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
You're getting like 6 minutes or something.
Yeah, I just played it straight, so I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, and they're doing like kind of unique animations, which I thought was fun. Like the commander is usually like busting squats with like his M16 over his head and like just dumb shit like that. So it's kind of fun. Along the same lines, the ghost photo one, I'm not sure how you're supposed to do it. So I use the analyzer and the sound indicator, like pretty much every type of thing, and I couldn't find the ghost, and then I used the soliton radar and it showed the ghost on the radar. And then you just take a picture of the spot and it's just like a dead possessed guard like floating. And like
so weird.
And that's it. But I mean, it's kind of a throwback to in Metal Gear Solid 1, there were a bunch of hid ghosts of the developers that you could take pictures of, and it started like a weird chain reaction of people telling like, hey, I saw a ghost in my game, and you're like, what? And then it's kind of like playground rumor style. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's dope.
And I think they've kind of put those in since. Like in MGS2, you can take a picture of a ghost in the tanker after the lights go out. So this has sort of been like a Metal Gear like holdover.
It's pretty cool.
But it's pretty fun. I don't know how the fuck to do it without the soliton radar, so I don't know if there is like an alternate way to do it other than just taking pictures everywhere and seeing if you... I'm sure you could take like a really wide photo and then be like, what's that in the corner? And then just go... check it out. But Yeah, outside of that, there were a couple fun. I think I already mentioned this on the main episode, but it's like eliminating the kidnappers with a gun turret in the Cloud Forest. That was kind of fun. I can't remember which one that was. I think it was 52.
One of like the base defense ones, wasn't it? Or was it something different?
I think it's that one. Yeah, yeah.
I think it might have actually been called destroy the kidnappers or something like that.
Yeah. The other ones, and I think, again, I mentioned this on the main episode, like the snake gear retrieval, where you have to be like an MSF soldier retrieving Snake's gear while he's in the torture sequence. Super fun. And then there's one where you have to defend a POW. And I think there's only one of these. All the rest are like base defense.
Yeah.
But there's one, there's like a POW in the underground mine base, but guards can come from any direction.
Mm.
And while you're defending this dude, they can just like take pot shots at him. And if they kill him, like the mission's over.
Wow.
I just had a lot of fun with it because like they get kind of creative about how they send them your way and stuff like
that's
that.
That's awesome.
So it's like planting really claymores
cool.
And
yeah, it's cool that like they've got things like the snake ear retrieval one that like add more context. So it's like less that you're just playing random like trials that they've thrown at you and like they're actually like contextual to the story. I think mm-hmm. that's really neat.
Yeah. And then obviously there's a fuck ton of like armored vehicles and stuff, but
yeah.
Isaac, James, I don't know if you guys had ones that we didn't call out that maybe you enjoyed. I know for every cool, unique one, it seems like there's just like a lot of copy pasta ones too.
Yeah.
Where it's like Fulton, 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 mm-hmm. Fulton all the
but
way
there's
down.
There's a lot of variety, which is crazy.
Yeah. The marksmanship challenges are kind of cool.
So I don't want to bring this one up too much because it's kind of gross, but the date with Paz one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, because we talked about that in the generalities.
Generalities.
Yeah. Like,
so yuck.
Well,
not cool. Pretty gross.
In my little foray into it, I didn't really know what to do at first. And so I walked
up
to her.
Did you see QC her?
And said, hit R1. And he like spins her around and touches her boobs.
Oh my god!
Is that what happens if you CQC her?
Yeah. So he doesn't spin her around. If you, for me, I was like, oh, it'll be funny to just like throw Paws
just
into the
slam
ocean.
Her down, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just gonna launch her into the ocean. Because I couldn't figure it out, and so that's how I found out about the naked snake thing. Because as a joke, I was like, well, it's a beach thing. I'm just gonna have Snake like with his shirt off and be like, oh hey, what's up?
Right.
And she just kept running away. So I was like, well, what the fuck do I do? So I was gonna like grab her. And when I CQC'd her, I guess it depends on what angle she's at, because I guess if she's turned around, he might turn her around.
Yeah.
But he, like, lunges forward and, like, does a quick little squeak, squeak.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Squeezes one of her boobs with his hand.
It's so weird.
Or maybe he just, like, puts his hand on her boob.
Why?
But then she, like, slaps the shit out of you and, like,
good.
Knocks you down. And she's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Get your hands off of me.
Good.
And I'm just like, yeah, like fuck.
What
is going on?
I was afraid that if you like injured her or like tried to CQC her that you would fail the mission. So I just
baby.
What a nightmare.
That.
A little squeaky. Yes.
I guess what's worse in molestation or like a grown man judo throwing a 16-year-old girl.
That's true. Molestation or abuse. Physical abuse.
Yeah, 16-year-old girl, a perceived 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Everything about that mission is gross. Like, even knowing that she's apparently, like, 24, knowing she's, an adult, like, at the time, you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, the perception up to that point, and, you know, James mentioned, like, there was something weird about how she was supposed to have scars, and you zoom in on her at the beginning, and she doesn't have scars, blah, 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 blah. But, like, if you're not paying, like, that much attention... Like, the perception is that this is a 16-year-old student
right.
who seems very innocent and yeah. essentially, like, this is happening. And
it's
not
it's some creepy
great.
Shit.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, I think the primary issue with it is the same thing that, like, Dead or Alive tried to do, where, like, in Japan, one of the Dead or Alive characters is, like, listed as being, like, 15. But just because they were bringing it to the States, they were like, we're just going to change it to 22. And it's like, if your character looks like a small child,
yeah.
it doesn't matter what the
right.
what the box says.
It's fucking weird.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that.
It's no.
It's like, we know, we know, like,
yeah,
in our hearts and minds.
Y'all being nasty. But, yeah. Great. Isaac, do you have any other thoughts on?
Let me see. I played... one of the later armored vehicle battles.
Oh, no.
Oh, by yourself? Oh no! Tell us about that.
I did that once, and I said, "Nope, not gonna happen."
Not we good.
Yeah, that was super hard. Super hard. Jeez.
Yeah, it's nuts. Real quick, since we're talking about pause, I did want to mention. I don't know if I mentioned this on any of the episodes or not. They shipped a soundtrack CD of the Donna Burke song.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
And essentially what ends up happening is it's shipped in a sleeve that features Paz in her schoolgirl outfit. But the way that the CD case opens up... It.
I'm picturing it in my head. What's
about to happen. Her clothes get pulled down and her body gets lifted up, and so she's just like in her underwear when you pull the CD case.
What?
And it's like, please, please.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. Like, why is that the character that they chose to like sexualize the most in this game?
The 16.
There's fucking adults everywhere.
Yeah, we got grown ass women, like grown ass independent women everywhere.
It's,
like,
it's
come on,
bad either way, but like.
Yeah, I'm not
the
saying
worst
yeah,
is a child.
The thing is, like, yeah, don't, like,
exactly.
Don't sexualize any of them, really. They're just badass, like fighting women, but, like, they're, like Cecile. Like, do her.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking
do her.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, yeah, I got
come
you.
On.
It's crazy. But, spoiler alert, not spoiler alert, but, just to correct ourselves real quick, so I'm going to double check something. It appears that, Amanda and Strangelove are both mentioned in what's it called?
MGS5.
MGS5. So look at that.
I like that you said Amanda and
I said Amanda and Strangelove.
No, I know, but like when you were trying to think of Strangelove, you said Amanda and
also the voice actress for Cecile looks like Cecile.
Yeah, that's
it's
crazy.
It's really weird.
Hmm.
But yeah, about that, I wanted to segue into our, sort of secrets portion of the episode real quick in saying, talking about the, Cecile's middle name and her last name. I don't know if we talked about this in the main episode at all, but after you rescue her, Miller has this weird, like, interstitial codec thing where he's like being super flirty with her or whatever. And, he's like, oh, your name sounds really pretty. And then he's like, Kozima is your middle name. Do you have any, like, Japanese relatives? And she's like, no, I'm just French. Why? And he, like, freaks out. And he's like, because Kozima sounds just like Kojima. And then he's like, and Kaminades, your last name sounds a lot like Kaminandesu, which is Japanese. And so he says, together, Kojima Kaminandesu translates to Kojima is God. And he starts having this, like, weird, like, Kojima is God? Kojima is God? And then, like, Big Boss is like, are you okay? And he, like, calms down and he's like, I'm sorry. And then he's like, welcome to Mother Base or something.
Wow.
It's very weird.
That is really weird.
So, yes. So, there's that. And, yeah, that's a weird little added secret to the Cecile
that's
thing.
That's bizarre.
Likewise, I wanted to make mention, and I think we talked about it, about the Metal Gear Mark II and the wrecks that are kind of hidden. Apparently, I didn't realize this, there is a Gecko from MGS4 hidden in that same cutscene, which is bizarre. And then I think outside of that, I wanted to make mention about the zooming stuff. So we mentioned about the creepy Paz zooming to see her underwear thing and the Amanda zooming to see her fractured bones. I didn't realize whenever you zoom in on Cecile, not only do you see her injuries, but there's like a popping sound. And then if you zoom in on Strangelove, which I totally didn't even realize there was a zooming sequence, but I guess there is. It's just really quick. Her heart is filled with the lily petals from the big boss, from the boss fight,
mm-hmm.
which is super cool.
It's pretty cool.
But
wasn't one of the things you picked up on this while we were co-oping, Alessia, was I think when you're pulling the AI units out of the Peace Walker pod. It starts to say the Japanese train stations, like AI Campbell and Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, it was super weird. The other thing, too, and it dawned on me because me and Isaac were playing through parts of the game again, and the way that it culminated the first time for me is during the sequence whenever you are infiltrating the mining base, in sort of part two of, so I guess our last episode, there's the QuickTime event stuff. I didn't realize that if you fail the QuickTime event stuff and Snake gets incarcerated, he doesn't steal the key card from Strangelove. So, like, I don't know how the fuck you get out of the cell if you fail the CQC QuickTime event.
I think he, because I was rewatching a couple of parts, and I think he picks the lock. Or, like, I think he, like, jimmies, like, the door in some way.
That's weird. Because I was going to say, I just, like, had it in my inventory.
Right, yeah, because so like, the video that I watched while I was rewatching it was different from what I did. And okay. I got the card.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm trying to think as well. So we already talked about the truck stuff and the weird door stuff with Chico. Mm-hmm. I know in the... Oh, that's weird. I just realized Cecile is named after the former communications manager at Konami France.
That's pretty cool.
So her name is an actual human being's name.
Oh, so like her name is Kojima's god, essentially. just happened to be that way.
I guess.
Weird.
Weird thing, too, if you use the codec while you're near a river, Snake will talk to Huey, and Huey mentions that he's afraid of water.
Oh, man.
Which I never realized was like a callback to like him drowning himself. That happens in the later games. Yucky. Let me see what else we got going on here. Apparently the logo for Peace Walker was just straight up one of the camouflage palettes from the main title screen for MGS3 back in the day, which I thought was pretty neat. I don't know how to find it. Sam, do you know anything about the Tanegashima rifle? Peace Walker. I know it's in 4.
Yeah.
So it's like
Well, here, let's look it up since we have since we have the internet at our fingertips.
Oh, here we go. So MSF can develop the musket by procuring an intact Rathalos wing during the extra ops for Peace
I have
Walker.
One of those.
Oh shit. So it's a special rifle. When you shoot it, it shoots out a tornado and it sends guards to MSF helicopters.
What? That's awesome.
So it works like a Fulton, essentially.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's super weird. It's in MGS4 as well. You can just like shoot it and it like blows people off the map. But yeah,
I know
it's
that.
Another thing too is there is a reference to Johnny in this game.
Oh yeah, only in name though.
Yeah, only in name. There's the soldiers. If you look at their profiles, they have different. They have different things that they say, and one of the soldiers says, I have a friend named Johnny. Do you know him? Which is Johnny Sasaki, obviously.
Wow.
That's our poopy boy. Well, we made reference to that in our sketch.
We sure did.
In our skit scattily-whack.
Skittily.
I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, and maybe it's because I'm just super bizarre and OCD, but the MSF portraits for some of the people that you recruit. Are based off of all the different bosses from MGS4, Vamp, Fat Man, Fortune, Emma, Emmerich, Peter Stillman, The Sorrow, The Fear, Ed, Jonathan, Johnny Sasaki, Mei Ling, Naomi Hunter, and Rosemary. They like use their faces as like basis for the MSF soldier faces. And some of the other things were just reused from portraits that were in cutscenes when Naomi's talking about the Sons of the Patriot system in MGS4.
Pretty dope.
All comes full circle, baby.
That makes sense. And they used because they used like staff member faces too, and that makes sense because I noticed a lot of the staff members you can get look like people that really shouldn't be soldiers.
Yeah.
Not to be mean or anything.
Damn.
For some just to throw out like a weird conspiracy theory that like will only make sense to people who've played 5. There is sort of a weird connection where people are trying to imply that Hot Coldman is actually like Skull Face.
Is he not?
I can't confirm or deny.
Because I only ask because like when I saw Hot Coldman, my first thought was like he kind of looks like he could turn into Skull Face, just like based on looks.
Yeah, I think it might just be like a character model thing though, because like Hot Coldman died at the end of this game,
right?
And then Skull Face is like a very different. Like,
that's true.
Background.
That's
but yeah,
true.
Well, I mean,
like,
a lot of people have supposedly died in this.
Yeah,
series.
That shit's Metal Gear. Whatever. People get wished back when you get the 7 Dragon Balls in the Metal Gear universe.
You get the 7 Metal Gears from that truck.
Oh, God. And
you
wish
somebody back to life.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much most of the secret stuff. I mean, there are little, obviously a game like this has like a ton of little nuances and stuff, but I think we pretty much covered most of it. I think it's sort of further extrapolated in 5, but I think that there is sort of like a Strangelove kind of becomes a little bit nicer to Huey towards the end of this game. I know we kind of roughly talked about it, but I still can't figure out if it's implied that Strangelove is Otacon's mom or not, though.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I think it might. There might be discussion about it in 5, but
Otacon stays nasty.
Oh yeah, hashtag Otacon stays nasty. Did anybody else have any questions or comments about anything before we wrap it on up?
It was cool.
Has anybody completed all of the extra ops?
All 128 all extra 100. Ops?
Well, no. We haven't, but if one of you has, let us know, and we'll do something for you.
What's the Patreon goal for us all four to play through all of the extra ops?
Well, enough to fix your PS3.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
At one point I was trying to get a bunch of trophies for Peace Walker way back when, I remember, but I still was like pretty short because you have to do some weird shit like get S rank on a bunch of random extra ops in order to even unlock other ones. So it's nuts. Hefty. What were you asking, Isaac?
I was just gonna say, are we covering the outer ops or is that just kind of like meh?
Oh, I mean, I don't really feel like there's anything to cover. Do you feel like there's stuff to cover?
No.
Outer ops? I think it's like a one-sentence description for each of them.
It's pretty meh, too. But
oh, no.
Wait, repeat that one more time. I did not hear.
Isaac was asking if we're covering outer ops, and I said that effectively they're just all like single-sentence summaries.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just it's like base defense or like outpost eliminations and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And we kind of there are like.
And we talked about them sort of in the I think it's like 72 of them or something, but
that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's it. If you
so just really quick, small spoiler for 5, not big at all, but
whoa, we got virgin boys here.
How dare you?
I know Skullface mentions in 5 that he didn't want to repeat Coldman's mistakes.
Oh, okay.
That's what I would say if I had been previously killed. Yeah, and came back as a skull.
Yeah, that's true.
I say all the time, I don't want to repeat Dustin's mistakes. So
I say all the time, I don't want to repeat Coldman's mistakes, but that's just me. Jesus. What he meant by he didn't want to repeat Coldman's mistakes is he didn't want a dumb fucking name like Hot Coldman.
Yeah.
But who names their child Coldman?
Who names their child Skullface?
It's true.
What kind of Patreon goal will we have to get to for James to start going by Dustin again?
I don't know, James. Can you answer that question?
If we're pulling down $25,000 a month.
Whoa. That's a lot of money.
It's my identity.
I guess that's fair.
Oof. Well... That's been a thing. So we're going to be covering the listener responses on the next episode of the Peace Walker season. And then after that, we'll go back into hiding and we'll come back with some fun stuff. I guess I can go ahead and sort of reveal what we're going to be covering next for the show. So let me pull that up real quick. So I'll talk about the next 2 seasons worth of Metal Gear Mondays. So effectively what we are looking at after we wrap this Peace Walker season up is beginning in August, about middle of August, towards the end of August, where Metal Gear goes to the movies. We're doing a movie discussion. So we're going to do episode 74 is just going to be us discussing like the relationship that film has with the Metal Gear games.
74?
Yeah. And then, 75.
This episode?
Yeah, it should be 75. This episode 73.
No, 76.
Is it? Let me look at these.
Yeah, because 75 is going to be the next episode for the listener responses.
So we're on 73, 74. So it'll be 75. Right?
No. Generalities, part 1, part 2.
Yep.
With 71, 72, or 70, 71, 72.
Yep.
This is 73. Yeah, okay, you're right.
Yeah, so it's 75.
Right.
No, you're fine. So episode 75 is going to be Metal Gear movies discussion, and then episode 76 is going to be us reviewing Terminator, which I think will be pretty sick. Episode 77 is going to be us talking about Escape from New York. 78, we're going to talk about Blade Runner. And 79, we are either going to review Godzilla, or like OG Godzilla, or I'm kind of thinking we maybe talk about like a classic James Bond, and like the influence on Metal Gear Solid 3.
Is that how these movies were chosen? These are all known influences of
Kojima
in the series?
Yeah, so effectively the big thing is like Terminator, like a ton of stuff from like Snatcher, and just a lot of the sort of like cyborg stuff and like weird future tech stuff. Not to mention the fact that there's a still from Terminator that is the American box art for the original Metal Gear on the NES, just 100% traced over and drawn. Escape from New York is the basis for Snake as a character, because the dude's name is Snake Plissken in Escape from New York.
Right.
And he has an eye patch and a mullet.
Yeah. I've always wondered that.
Blade Runner, I would say it has a lot of influence on Metal Gear, but more primarily is a one-to-one direct reference into Snatcher, which is some work that Kojima has done. And then the Godzilla and James Bond stuff was just like all super talked about in MGS3. Right. And as also, I think Godzilla is an important touchstone because it leans more into that whole like anti-nuclear sentiment. But after that, season 4 of 2.0, we're talking Metal Gear Horror Month. So for the month of September and early October, we're going to do the scariest moments in Metal Gear. We are going to play Silent Hill 2. So suck it up, Isaac.
Love that game.
And
I love it.
We're gonna play PT. And
surprisingly,
talk about PT.
I've played PT, and it—I mean, it's scary as all get out. But
But yeah, it's gonna be fun. And then after that, finally, fucking drum roll, please. Season 5 after the horror month is gonna be us playing Ground Zeroes and Metal Gear Solid 5. So there you guys go. There you go.
Little Christmas gift for the.
Oh, yeah.
For the audience.
For the little baby Metal Gears out there.
The baby Metal Gears.
I'm honestly just excited that we don't have to start playing 5 right now because Peace Walker took it out of me.
Yeah, Peace Walker is a lot. In a good way. In a great way.
In a good way. It's in a very good way, but it does not preclude it from being a lot.
For sure. And I think... outside of the listener responses for next episode, we are also going to be doing sort of like a wrap-up thoughts situation. So I think it'll be good for us to get all of our final thoughts off our chest about this wonderful game. Yeah. So it'll be good. Well, awesome. We really appreciate it, you guys. And if you guys like listening to us, and want to support us or get additional content, you can check us out, patreon.com/Metal Gear Mondays. As little as $1 a month would really go a long way for hosting and kind of helping us expand our scope and stuff like that. There's a specific tier for early episodes, and there's a specific tier for the Patron Club podcast where we talk about non-Metal Gear games twice a month. Anything after that, you can dictate messages that you want us to relay on the episodes, and I might include a tier actually moving forward where we let people dictate potential ideas for extra ops, so talking about just kind of like extra stuff that falls outside of the traditional season structure. Outside of that, you can go to our merch shop, which is bit.ly/mgmstore, and that's all work that's been produced by Sam to support the show.
Sam.
So t-shirts, some mugs, some Stagers, some Isaac
mugs
face.
Isaac
fumbling
yeah,
in the dark.
Face.
Glow in the dark. Fumbling in the dark with Isaac Lim mugs.
Yeah. Got a I wish I glowed in the dark, man.
That'd yeah, I know, right? I wish.
Got one and old man's. It was this one. I wasn't gonna do this one, and somebody requested
it. Very weird.
An old man Sam.
I don't even
sticker.
Remember. I don't even remember where that
it
came
was.
From.
It was before we went on our like lengthy hiatus. This happened one time, and I pretended that I was that I got knocked out by my old like my an old version of myself,
oh,
and he was
I
very confused.
This.
Yeah,
oh,
it was
God.
Like on either like it was like either on the second to last or the last episode.
Somebody
we did
retained
right before.
That memory.
Oh, that's
yeah,
awesome.
and requested that I make Old Man Sam merch. So there's no Old Man Sam shirt because it wouldn't sell. But we've got stickers and mugs, and I'm calling. I can't remember who requested it. Calling that person out because we still haven't sold any of that item. So. Get
jokes
on
you. Joke's on you, Sam. They got you to make it. Like, spend time working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I made it, but I mean, you know, I need people to buy it, so.
That's crazy.
Here, break out Old Man Sam one more time. He's got to.
Oh, no.
So I need to buy my Metamucil, so you got to You got to Metamucil and my Viagra. So you got to go to the store and buy my stuff.
That was a very Sam sentence. I believe that. I believe that's Old Man Sam.
Out of here, old man! Jesus, sorry, guys.
You're too old. But, no, you're good. Well, cool. You can find me at AC Summerfield on Twitter, acsummerfield.com. Don't all run in at once.
I thought you had more. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you stopped very abruptly.
It was a very weird cadence that you had. You can find me at James Wrightmuth on Twitter or jameswrightmuth.com.
Nice.
And I'm just doesn't have a twit.com.
You can find me at Sanjul, that's Sanjull, and you can also find me at sanjul.gov.
The time between the three Peace Walker episodes, James set up a website.
Yeah, I looked at the release date of this one. I was like, oh yeah, my website will be done by then.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mine was like a joke.
There was no fanfare. Yeah. It was really funny.
Mine was not a joke.
And mine was not a joke. Can I take mine again? I think I've got a better one. Can I try again?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Sanjul, that's Sanjull, or you can find me at Sanjul.xxx.
Ooh.
Man, shivers. You happy with that, Sam?
Yeah. How about you try it one more time? Yeah, let me think of one real quick.
Keep on.
Oh yeah, I'm not editing anything. I got one. You can visit Sam at Sanjul on Twitter. That's at Sanjull
@JamesWrightmuth.com. JamesWrightmuth.com. No, I got one. You can find me on Twitter at Sanjul. That's Sanjull, or you can go to sanjul.pizza.
Wow.
Perfect.
PZ.
Which.
That was very quick.
PIZZ. That's an actual. That's an actual domain extension.
Is it
Domino's.pizza. Hell
yeah.
Did you like go to GoDaddy while we were talking to find?
No, I came back. So the reason why I know this, and here's a plug for something that
you go to GoneDaddyGone.com until
it's no. Did you go to GoneGirl.com?
That's a different website.
Yeah. So the McElroy brothers of my brother and me.
You plugging the fucking McElroy brothers? Yeah,
you're goddamn right. I'm plugging
the
McElroy brothers.
Are you?
Those boys have plugs for days.
They're fine.
I know they're fine, but I want them to notice me. Notice me, senpais.
Please notice me, senpais.
No, the McElroy brothers.
They're just running an algorithm waiting for people to say their name.
They're like, running through.
When they did their TV show, they had like a really dumb like ARG as a joke, and one of their domains was .pizza, and I remembered that.
That's great. Awesome. Well, sweet.
Oh, wait, I want to try that one more time. It's fine. This is the last one, I promise.
Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
You can find me on Twitter at Sanjul, that's Sanjull, or you can go to MaximumFun.org/mybrother, mybrotherandme.
Boom.
All right, I'm going to take mine one last time. You can find me on Twitter at AC Summerfield, or you can find me online at www.acsummerfield.box. It's just a box. Fuck off. Boom.
Dot box.
Just a box.